Praise God. Amen. You're coming to this church for the first time. You have never been here before. Just wave your hand. Today is the first time. Just wave your hand. If you don't mind, can you stand up on your seat? If you don't mind, today is the first time you're coming to this ministry. Can you stand up on your seat? Let's just see you and just welcome you. Church, won't you clap hands for bringing them our way? For bringing them our way. Shake hands with them if they are near you. If you have the Holy Ghost and you are a prosperous person. If you are not prosperous, don't shake. Shake that person. Prophesy, say something good to that person. Say something good. Thank you. God bless you. Be seated. It's okay. Thank you, Matthew. Amen. And like I said yesterday, I said, we are a restored ministry. We are not another church that is springing up. We have already sprung up since 1933. Hallelujah. The move that produced us started in 1933 through the ministry of William Marion Branham. Amen. A journalist came to cover this program yesterday from Champion. And it's his first time of coming here. I don't know how well the nose around. And he just begged, because I didn't have time. He was begging to have just three minutes. By the time he finished with me, he left. He was so confused. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's telling me that there is a magazine to be produced, a Christian magazine. And he's asking if I can have a column. If he can, they will give me a column so that I can say some of these things. He's asking, which type of ministry is this? Amen. And he asked me, so, sir, what do we address you? I say, I am Pastor Moses. And if you are a Christian, then call me Brother Moses. That's who I am. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but we thought you answer Reverend Doctor. And I said, no, those are not Christian titles. I am a Christian. Amen. Hallelujah. I am a servant of God. And the only titles that God gave his servants in the New Testament church, they are in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Then we have deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Apart from that, any other title, any man of God is bearing, now he give himself, no be God give up. It has nothing to do with Christianity. There's nothing like reverend. No human being is reverend. A sinner saved by grace. Reverend who? Who made you reverend? Only God must be revered. Praise the Lord. Psalm 111 verse 9 says God's name is reverend. Praise the Lord. And you say you are reverend doctor. That is an academic title. That is, you have a PhD degree. You are a philosopher. That's who you are. And we talk about the gospel. Gospel is not philosophy. In fact, philosophy is contrary to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Because by philosophy, they could not recognize the Lord of glory. By philosophy, they cannot understand the wisdom that God has decided to use the gospel to save his children. That's why Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. You don't achieve it by philosophy. And I was telling that young man yesterday, I said, when God called people, when God called some people, call you now. Some of you are sitting down here now from other churches. When God calls a man, he does not send him to Bible school. You don't go to Bible school. Eh? He does not send you to Bible school. Bible school is not where God manufactures his ministers. No. To even start with, God's ministers are called from their mother's womb. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When God calls a man, he does not send him to Bible school. When God calls a man, he anoints him for the work he has called him to do. The anointing is the qualification, not Bible school. And any time God wants to move, God has never used educated people. From the beginning till now, he has always used people who are not lettered. He uses simple things, foolish things to confound the wise. So that you will know it is God. Amen. So when you come to a church like this, amen, you are not attending another new Pentecostal church coming up. This move that has produced this church is the attempt of God and the final move of God to restore the church back to Bible Christianity, to position us for the rapture. For the rapture. Amen. If you are not ready to go in the rapture, don't come to this church. Because you will not hear us preach like other people preach. Amen. Okay. A young man was telling me, say he has been going to church. He said he has never cried before in any church. In fact, he said the longest time he ever stays in any church is 1 hour. I said, no wonder, it's because of you. They normally have 5 services between 7 o'clock and 12 o'clock. Amen. Hallelujah. Because of you now, so that they will receive your tithe and your offering. Amen. And he was telling me he lived in London. Eh? Ministers, you were in my office, you were hearing him. He said every week he was dealing in cocaine. Before every transaction, pastor would pray for him. Yes, now. And every week he was paying tithes. Every week, £500 to the man. £500 to the man every week. And the man will bless him. When they take off, he will say, they are on their way coming. They are on their way coming. The thing is in the air now. It's coming. Oh, pray, pray. And the unfortunate thing about the whole thing is that that person is a prophet in Nigeria, a Nigerian here that is now located to London where the money is. Now, if you're a member of such a church, what will that man tell you? The kind of thing you will hear him tell you will be different from the kind of thing you will hear me tell you when you come here. For now, just feel at home. Because we're not talking anything. So the sisters that painted their faces, painted their lips, paint, feel at home. We're not saying anything to you today. Feel at home. All of you that put in their hair, American hair, all those funny attachments, feel at home. We are not talking to you now. Till later. Amen. All of you that before coming here, you branch beer parlor before coming here, feel at home. Feel at home. We are not touching you people today. All of you, feel at home. Those of you who left your girlfriend at home and took your bath this morning and ran down here, you did vigil with her throughout the night. Now you are here now. Feel at home. We are not talking to you today. Just feel at home. You hear? You hear? Feel at home. Praise the Lord. All of you, when they thief your master money, thief your master money, thief your master money, maybe you hold her now to put up our blue envelope. Come on, Tamo! Come on, Tamo! Don't come and put it here! Okay. Feel at home. Feel at home. Hallelujah. And it looks as if we that we are following the truth decided to follow God the rugged way as if we cannot prosper. We organize this program to let them know we shall prosper. Sister, you can stay without opening your leg for any useless man and prosper. Brother, you can stay without bending anything, bend corner for anything, and still prosper above those useless people out there. You can prosper. Third John. Open the book of Third John. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Amen. The salutation of Apostle John to that pastor, Chaos. Is it Chaos or Gaius? Gaius. Gaius. Are we there? Verse 2. This is the salutation. This is his wish. Anytime we read any scripture in this church, we try to go to the depth of the meaning of that statement so that it can be meaningful to us. He said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I am reading further why he made that statement, even as thy soul prospereth. He said, For I rejoice greatly. Amen. He said, But for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. It means Gaius stood firmly by the truth. He will not bend the scripture for any reason. And the apostle heard of his testimony of his rugged Christian faith and was commending him. I have no greater joy, verse 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. And that is why, and if the evidence that your soul is prospering is that you will walk in the truth. He who will walk in the truth, your soul will prosper. Church, there is the prosperity of the flesh and there is the prosperity of the soul. Amen. A majority of so-called Christians have only the prosperity of the flesh. They have no prosperity of the soul. And I know end-time message believers that also have the knowledge of the present truth. They walk in the present truth. Therefore, their soul is prospering, but their flesh is not prospering. They are wallowing in abject poverty, yet walking in the truth. And then I told them, they fall within either of these two categories. The kind of faith Abraham had, or the kind of faith Lazarus had. Lazarus, amen. Hallelujah. A Christian, born again Christian, walking in the truth, living a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, staying where God expects you to stay, you are sure you are connected to heaven. You have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, therefore you have eternal life. I hope you know, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have eternal life. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you can only be born again if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have taught that here in the month of June in our Holy Ghost baptism program. Yes, you have the Holy Ghost. You are sure of going to heaven. But many Christians today, you will either go to heaven like Abraham went or like Lazarus went. They were all in heaven, but during testimonies, like I spoke yesterday, all of them, there are two of them, both of them are all in heaven, but with two different testimonies of how they lived on earth. Abraham, Lazarus goes, say, I suffer. I suffer. Abraham goes, say, I enjoyed. I was wealthy. But they are all there. Why will Lazarus, a righteous man who died and went to paradise, go in there a poor man? And Abraham went in there with a testimony on earth of abundance of wealth. It is because, like I said yesterday, no matter how born again you are, you must add this knowledge. Church, 2 Peter chapter 1, Apostle Peter, was telling us about we call it the statue of perfection. He said, add to your faith virtue. Those 7 steps there. Add to your virtue what? Knowledge. Knowledge is important. My people are destroyed, not for the lack of anointing, but what? Lack of knowledge. You may have so much anointing, but there is a knowledge you must add for that anointing to be useful to you. Knowledge. Knowledge of several things. Several things. Concerning salvation, there is a knowledge you must know. I said it yesterday. See, no matter how much anointing I have to release upon you for prosperity, it will only be effective if you begin to walk in the principles for prosperity as given to us in the scriptures. If you don't do it, come every day and be receiving oil. Tomorrow you will come again and receive the same oil. If you don't walk by that principle, you'll be a miserable holy sister. You'll be a miserable holy brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And some of us don't even know why Apostle Peter said, add to your faith. I think I have explained that in a message I preached. Add to your faith. What is your faith? Your faith is your decision to follow Christ. Your decision to be a Christian, your decision to give your life to Christ is your faith. Your Christianity is your faith. He says, when you've decided to give your life to Christ, he says, add to that faith virtue. What is virtue? What he's saying is, make your Christian life attractive. That's the meaning of virtue. Make your Christian life, your faith, attractive. You give your life to Christ. Now I'm born again. Then, sister, you refuse to take care of yourself and dress and look fine. What will happen? When we say, cover your head. That cover your head is when praying or prophesying. God gave you, sister, your natural hair is your natural covering. The Bible describes it as your glory. It is part of your beauty that God made you. When a woman has long hair, her beauty is pronounced. Amen. The faith that will make you every day from morning to night tie scarf, Every day, tie scarf, wet apple, and born again. This your hair has life. If it does not receive air, it will rot it. That's why some sisters stand before you and then they smell. Not true. You go to bathroom, you tie. You want lie down sleep, you tie. You enter kitchen, you tie. You go to church, you tie. They go market, you tie. Go your office, you tie. When does that hair receive treatment? And so a Christian, somebody who sees you, wants to come around you and sees nothing attractive. That is, your faith has no virtue. It turns back. Amen. Then, hallelujah. Then, listen, church. Amen. And one of the things that will make your faith to have virtue is a knowledge you will have to apply, especially when it comes to prosperity. Brother Obodechi, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Eh? Stand up. See, as this man stands so, shishi, you don't get for pocket. I know that one. Eh? I lie.
You know lie.
Shishi, you don't get for pocket. But if you stand like this, who go think say you don't get shishi? Look at him. Just look at him. Designer suit. Designer. See the shoe. Now, if he stands and says, my God is a good God, you will say, amen, now true, I can see it all over you. But, who will I use now? You go and stand with one kind of shoe. Wear, instead of suit, you wear coat. Then you stand. Then the collar of your shirt don't tear all, you don't turn it upside down. Then you are standing, sweating. Perfume self, you know where? Smelling perspiration. Everywhere. Then you are standing. I say, my God, he's a good God. They will ask you, which God? I can't go near this, your God, if this is what he can produce. So for virtue, to be true virtue, knowledge is needed. And there is a knowledge for prosperity. There is a knowledge for prosperity. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I have told you, I said the meaning of that faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the faith there is revelation. In Romans 1:17, Apostle Paul said, the just shall live by faith. And then he came again to the Hebrews and said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. That faith there is revelation. Without revelation, it is impossible to please God. That's why Cain did not have revelation, so he sacrificed was not accepted because he didn't do it according to revelation. And that is why he said there, he said, for by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. That is, by revelation Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And faith cometh by hearing. Revelation comes by you hearing. And there is revelation that comes by the word. And that's why we try anytime you come here, we give so much time to teaching the Bible. Because that is the only way you can live a life that is pleasing before God. Concerning prosperity, hallelujah. And we're looking at the God of Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the God of Jabez. Jabez's condition is like the condition of so many people here. Where you live a life of struggling. Your mates are far ahead of you. And the Bible says Jabez offered a three-point prayer. And the Bible says God answered him that he will enlarge his coast. God that gave us this theme to use for this year, he, God, is set to enlarge the people's coast. But I say, no matter what promise God gives you, amen, he still will answer you only according to the principles. For instance, hallelujah, a man was sitting down somewhere here or here, last year, Prosperity Week or so, or last year, last 2 years, I remember that testimony. He's been crying, his shop was not selling. And all of a sudden, that day they were raising an offering for ministers' welfare. He had his last 1,000 naira, nothing else at home. He gave the testimony by himself. I think that was the first day of the program or so. He said, he came, he said, a voice spoke to him, go and remove that, your 1,000 naira, and put in the minister's offering. And he said, he doubted it first. My last 1,000. Nothing else at home. We never chop today. What do we eat? And he said, it came again a second time stronger. He came and dropped the money. He said, even after service, he met, is the brother here today? His brother here, just wave your hand. He said, after service, he met his wife and asked the wife, Nne, you hold any money? She said, no, all the money I got, don't put for altar. He said, ah. Now, he said, what of the 1,000 we take for our house now? He said, God, he said, make a put down. He said, everything. He said, hey, how we going to go home? He said, himself. But he went to his shop the next day. And the sales that he could not make for the whole year, he made it that day. He said he had to tell the people, wait, at the run to go church. He had to tell customers, wait. Now the question is, God heard his prayer. But if he's going to answer him, God is a God of reaction. Hallelujah. God is not a God of action. Who is he? He's a God of reaction. God can only be moved if you move him. God does not move by himself. You have to move him. So you want him to bless you, there is a way he has stated here in the Bible on how to move him to bless you. That is what I call God's principles that we must know. And I said, for your course to be enlarged, I said, there are six conditions. The first one it was that you must be diligent. And I quoted Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 6 to 11. And I quoted Proverbs 22 and verse 29. And I quoted Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Apostle Paul telling us not to be slothful in business. And I spoke extensively on what all those mean. The second condition is that you must put God first. In everything you do, put God first. And I quoted Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to verse 10. And that is where I spoke about the tithe and the first fruits. The first fruit offering in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 19 and Deuteronomy chapter 26 from verse 1 to verse 15. And I used that ordinance of the first fruits in Leviticus chapter 23 verse 9 to 11 and how it was fulfilled with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, Christ, the first fruit. And that first fruit was produced, hallelujah, in Matthew 27, verse 52 to verse 53. Amen. Why he says you should acknowledge God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to verse 20. Warns you, when you enter the land of promise given to you to possess, that you should not forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord when you are blessed. Hallelujah. Put God first. That is what was demonstrated in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9 up to verse 16, concerning Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. When Elijah said, me first, prepare for me first, although that is the last meal you have. And she did it. God first. Luke chapter 4, verse 24 to verse 27. The Lord made that emphasis there. There were many widows in Israel in the time of famine, but God chose a particular widow in Sarepta. Why? Why didn't he send her to others that had so much yet to eat and maybe feed some other people? But he sent Elijah to one that had her last card to eat and no more hope. And it's also expected that woman will have had every reason not to give the man of God first, as prophesied or as demanded by the prophet. But there was something about her. She obeyed that principle, and throughout the period of famine, food never lacked in that house, because she obeyed and put God first.
Chapter 19. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself ready.
Number 3, condition. First, the number 3 condition for your coast to be enlarged, if you want your coast to be enlarged, if you want to prosper as a believer, as a Christian, take these teachings very seriously, I'm telling you. Number 3, fulfill your vows. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Listen to the way the Lord put it there. This is thus said the Lord. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest vow than that thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither said thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? The work of thine hands can be destroyed because you refuse to fulfill a vow that you made. You see, a young man came to my office this morning to fulfill a vow that he made 1 year ago. Two of them. One of them said that he was in a revelation and I appeared to him, warning him to go and fulfill the vow he made 1 year ago if he wants to prosper. That is the mercy of God. Numbers chapter 30. One verse there. Hallelujah. One verse there. Numbers chapter 30. Of verses 1 and 2. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Not I, Moses, commanded. This is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. It is what the Lord himself has commanded. Amen. The gospel has become commercial venture. And so, carnal preachers, carnality. The Bible calls that type of attitude sons of Belial. People who have no fear of God. All. That's the same spirit that was on Judas. While the remaining 11, we are looking at a man that has the words of eternal life. Judas was among them. He saw a man that he can make quick money from. And they were all disciples of Jesus. And Jesus called them by himself. Are they called? Yes, they are called. And they are called just like Judas was called. Betraying the Lord Jesus wherever they are. Commercialization of the gospel. So they willfully, because these people are doctors of divinity. They have gone to school of theology and they have dissected the meaning of every sentence. Because this Bible is translated in English. It's English. But they will read part of it and use it. If there's anything in the Bible they can use to make money from the people, they will do it. Because a young man was in my office again this morning and was telling me his experience in one of those churches. He said for 1 month they were preaching one sermon. First fruit. First fruit. What is their first fruit? As they teach that every year your first income for that year, pack everything to the man of God so that he can bless you. It's a common teaching in the denomination. They write it. I have read it in books. They write it even in books. And even if you receive a promotion during the year and they pay you your arrears for that promotion, the first salary you receive, you say, pack everything to the man of God and collect and then let him bless you. Or you just got a job and as soon as you get that job, the first salary of that job, carry everything to the man of God. First fruit. And I say something here. Listen. Amen. It is a commandment that we should bring. The scripture says the first of the first fruit. Let's read it. Exodus. Hallelujah. Chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Amen. Verse 19. Are we there? The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not sit a kid in his mother's milk. The important aspect there is the first of the first fruits. Deuteronomy 26. Amen. Verse 1. And it shall be, when thou art come in into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. The emphasis here, hallelujah. Amen. See, okay, let's go to Deuteronomy again. Deuteronomy chapter, Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf, that is a handful, of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Not everything. A handful, a sheaf. Moses called it the first of the first fruits. When you enter the land of promise, the land, your first harvest that year that you will harvest, what he's saying is, that harvest is your first fruit. Get a part of that harvest. Before you begin to chop, bring it to the priest. He's going to wave it before the Lord. So, if it is your first salary that you get, you've been looking for a job, after this prosperity week, you must get a job. Somebody here, you must work. You don't believe it? I'm waiting for your testimony. Your first salary, you will take part of it apart from your tithes. In fact, listen, the first job, the first income that you have, listen, it is not tithe you pay. It is the first fruit offering. It means it is expected that it will be more than tithe. You will get a part of that first salary that you have in that job and bring it to the Lord. That is your own way of acknowledging him, because Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, say, in all thy ways acknowledge him, God. How? Without you are the reason why I got this job. You got this job for me. I thank you, Lord. You got this job for me. I thank you, Lord. And I said yesterday, I said, even culture, I said, where I come from, your father, and if your father is dead, the man that took care of you until you finish your school, and now you have gotten a job, once you have gotten your salary, part of that salary, you bring it to him and kneel down for him to bless you. It is normal. So, and I expect you to do it. Every man that is properly brought up does not remember the source that held him throughout his days of struggle. You give God his own. Go back to that man, your uncle, your brother, your father. I don't start work now from the salary with this. Papa, take and bless me. Buy something with it and give him. God expects that also from him. God is not saying you should bring everything. If you bring everything, What do you go chop that month? It's a teaching that an unconverted heart will teach, knowing the benefit irrespective of the effect of it. When you see unconverted people preaching the gospel, there is no mercy following it. If you come and collect everybody's salary in January, and January is the hardest month for all workers, so January is the longest month. Then you want to add another 1 month on top again. Everything he has for January, he should bring it to you. Now let me tell you, he said the first fruit, you have been working. Your first fruit is the only offering you offer when you start that job. You don't come and repeat it every year, every year, every year, every year. There is no teaching like that, no scripture like that. Unless that job terminates and you are starting a new job in another company, in another organization, that first salary you have there, part of it is your first fruit. Bring it to the Lord. Once only. And concerning tithes, I told you what you tithe yesterday. I say, if you want to start a business, you calculated and you need 1 million naira. And you go ask your uncle or a bank or finance house or anybody decides to loan you 1 million naira in line with your projections and proposals. That 1 million is your capital. You don't tithe it. Don't pay tithe from it. Amen. But if you just stay and somebody pity you, say, I want to establish you, take 1 million naira and establish yourself in anything you can do, that money, you must tithe it. Praise the Lord. If your master, after you served him for 5 years, settles you with any amount, you will tithe that amount of money. It is for your own good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the last thing I said was concerning redeeming of tithes. Citing Leviticus chapter 27, where he says, if you are going to redeem your tithe, you should add a fifth part thereof. And these money-mongering pastors, they hijack that one to mean that if you are owing God tithe, when you want to pay, that you should bring all the tithe that you are owing and add 20% to it and pay because you are owing God. It is wrong. That's why I say they know what they are doing. Redeem is an English word. So anybody that says he does not, interpret redeem to mean it's because you are owing, then what is redeem? Redeem is to buy back something that was yours, but you lost it. Why is God redeeming us? It's because from the foundation of the world, we are His. From the Garden of Eden, we belong to Him. But sin separated us from Him. Satan took over, and He wants to have us back to Himself. The process of bringing us back to Himself is called redemption. Amen. To buy back what you have, what you owned that you lost. So concerning tithes, it was referring to like animals. If for any reason you are supposed to tithe a particular animal, but you find it useful, you need that type of breed of animal, maybe a cow. It produces a lot of milk, and you want to keep it instead of giving it out for it to be slaughtered there and offered as a burnt offering. You need it. The law in Leviticus 27 says that you will bring that cow to the priest. They will find out the market value of that cow in the market, if it costs 100,000 naira, hallelujah, that is the market value of that cow, then you will add 20% of the cost. That will make it how much? 120,000 naira, take 120,000 naira to the priest, then you can redeem that tithe. Take it home. That is the meaning. He's not saying that if you owe, nobody owes tithe. If you don't pay your tithe, don't say, I am owing God. You are not owing nothing. You have only given it to another person instead of God, but your tithe has been collected. If you don't give God, Satan will come and collect it. And Satan does not collect only 10%. Oh yes, Satan will collect much, much more than that. So what God expects you to do is to repent and begin to pay your tithe from any income that comes. Unless you decided that I'll be paying my tithe 2 times in a year, 3 times in a year, that is what you decided to do. Then at the time, when the time comes, you gather whatever it is you have made within that period and come and pay. But you see the money, opportunity to pay the tithe, you don't pay. And then you say, next month, when I will come double up. Don't mind, don't worry, don't bother about it. Chop it, go. Just calculate by the next month, notice how much you spend for hospital. Notice how much goods you lost. Notice how many cases you have to go to police station to spend money. Notice how many times you have to rush home, your mama falls sick. Notice how many times you rush your pikin somewhere. It must be taken away from you. When you say, I will rebuke the devourer, people don't understand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't let anybody cheat you and thief your money in the name of Jesus. There are robbers that teach that type of nonsense. They know the truth. Amen. Any pastor here, you disagree with me? Any question? Because that is important. Any disagreement? Not be fight. Ask question. You can't, because I showed you in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you don't pay your tithe, you are looking for trouble. God call you a robber. You are a robber. Okay? Let's continue. Proverbs chapter 20 concerning fulfilling your vow. Proverbs chapter 20. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 20 verse 21. Remember, Ecclesiastes say, if you make a vow, don't defer to pay. He, God, will demand it from you. When God says, I will demand, then he's demanding it now. You begin to use your mouth to say, I just made this vow. I don't know. I just talk more. I don't know. Say, and he said, God will be angry with you. And before you know why, he will scatter your business for talking anyhow with him. And that is why, verse chapter 20 and verse 21. Hallelujah. Verse 25, not 21. He said, it is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy. Your tithe is holy because it belongs to God. Your tithe, your vow, you have already vowed it unto the Lord. He says, it is a snare, that is, it's a trap for you to suffer, to the man who devoured that which is holy, and for that man who is after vows to make inquiry, you are ensnaring yourself. When you want to make inquiry from the Lord, you just quick say, if the Lord do this for me, I will do this. He said, you are ensnaring yourself. I know somebody did it, Jephthah. Hallelujah. Jephthah did it. Because the battle is before him. And he said, Lord, if you will give me victory in this battle, when I come out, the first thing that will come out of my house, I will offer it to you for a burnt offering. He did not know what he was saying. The implication of what you are saying is like God telling him, does this man know what he says? Anything that come out of your, anything. Anything that come out of my house. He was thinking that it's his dog that will run out. Or one goat will run out. When the noise is coming, one fowl will jump out. Then you say, catch that fowl, catch that fowl. But as he was coming, who was the first person that came out? His daughter, his only daughter. No other child other than that only daughter. Ran out, the king said, hey, this woman, hey. Don't finish me. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? I've had theologians arguing that he didn't kill her. He killed her! Is it not English? What is burnt offering? What did they say? Burn something. Fire! Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. He is the one that made the vow. Not be God tell and say, bring and conquer. Now you use your mouth. If the woman dies, now God go fill her, and now him go fill her. Don't be holier than God. See, know the God we serve. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jephthah killed. He killed. Burnt offering is burnt offering. Psalm 15. This is what God is expecting from every one of us. Verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that am I correct? He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. This is where I am going. He that sweareth to his own heart and changeth not. In Judges chapter 11, that is what Jephthah did. He swore to his own heart and he refused to change it. He lost the only child he has as a king. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you are fulfilling your vow, I'm telling you, condition to be fulfilled for your cause to be enlarged. When you are fulfilling your vow, Leviticus chapter 22, reading from verse 18 up to verse 25, your vow must be without blemish. That is, make sure any time you are fulfilling a vow, you are giving an offering, make sure it is the best of the best you have. I was not too happy when I saw something as our sisters brought offering for the orphanage. I discovered that some women brought the old clothes of their children. Their older children that they have used. That is why they brought used clothes. Clothes that they had used. And they brought it and dropped it as offering. I was at the altar and I looked at it. I said, somebody is bringing an offering without a revelation. Bring the best. Don't bring the one with blemish. Some of you, when it is time for offering, you will select the dirty note. You will keep the clean one, then select the dirty one and put as offering. Don't you fear God? Do you even know God? Don't you reverence Him? That is why we decided to put this money in envelope. Don't make it look as if God is a beggar. You squeeze money, click, 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 and even in giving it, they throw it. They just come stand far. Who are you stoning? A seed? Every seed. seed that is sown in the farm is carefully put. It's carefully put. Even the rice farm that the seed is spread, it is spread in a special way. You don't just throw it like that. It is done with care. A seed fed offering. You are bringing it. Then you come and stand, anoint me. Then they run, you go. You don't know the meaning of what you are doing. Change it all if you want your coast to be enlarged. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number four. Don't consume all your harvest. It's a principle. It's a condition. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22 said, as long as the earth remained, seed time and harvest time shall never cease. Because it is a principle. You want to have anything in abundance, in that area you are believing God for, sow a seed. A seed faith, sow a seed for what you are believing God for. If you are expecting any harvest in any area of your life, I believe that teaching. You have proper understanding of that teaching, I practice it. Seed faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you want to sow, church, listen. When he said, don't consume all your harvest. If you go to the farm and all the harvest for that year, you pack everything, you go home, and then during the summertime, you eat everything. During the next farming season, amen, you will have nothing to sow. No other one to sow to reproduce more for the next season. So at the harvest time, will you have anything to harvest? Nothing. There are some of us that every time we are cultivating afresh, afresh, afresh. Once you have something, blah, you run off. When it is finished, then you're coming back again. Square one. What will happen? There's a curse in my family. Rise and fall. Rise and fall. Then the warriors, some things, not be right, not be cause. You rise. What did you do to remain risen? There is something you must do to remain at that level. If you don't do it, you will fall. You will come back again and start all over. Don't consume all your harvest. Any income you have, any blessing you have, any income we have, anyone, any income you have, make sure you don't consume everything. Make sure you don't do that. Let me add something I must not forget. When I say, when you want to give an offering, I limited it to God. It is to anybody at all. See, if I want to dash you a cloth to use, I must not dash you cloth that I don't need again. It is no more useful to me. If it is not useful to me because my size, I don't outgrow the size, it is different. But I don't use and use and use and so I don't like them again. The thing don't fade. That's faded. Everything faded. Then you see, you say, I get cloth where I want that shoe. There's no blessing attached to it. There's no blessing attached to it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say, whatever I teach, I say, I practice it. You see? A young man came to my house and saw a vehicle in my house that had an accident, a little accident. Some of you know the space bus I was using before. And then he said, ah, daddy, that he would like to buy it. And I teased him, I said, it's about 700,000 naira. He said he would pay. Ah, this is good for my work. And I thought, I said, and if we want to dash him, why will it be an accident car we will give him? And I spent over 200,000 naira to fix that vehicle. And the vehicle now is perfect. We are coming home. We were coming to church this morning. And I told my wife, I said, that bus, I think we should give it to that brother that needs it. Now it is fixed. She said, yes, yes, that brother. I said, yes, give him if he still needs it. The emphasis is, I fixed it first. Perfectly all right. In fact, better than it used to be before. Hallelujah. Better than it used to be before. Now, I can give it out. That becomes a gift. Not because you get accident. I will spend more than 200,000 to fix it. You say you want to buy it. How much? Then I say, I want to help you now, brother. I want to help you. Even if I didn't collect money, I say you should take it. I am giving you something to spend money to fix it. It is not going to attract any blessing. People don't know this principle. Praise the Lord. Some people go carry motor, tell the entire minister. The minister for the next 6 months, he never finished fixing it. Did you touch him car? You carry the bar and give him. And concerning sowing, there are conditions for sowing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Amen. From verse 6, listen. When it comes to sowing, praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. That is why he says you should not consume all your harvest. It remains some to sow. Verse 6. I'm reading up to verse 10. He said, let him that is taught in the word. Who are those that are taught in the word? The church members. The congregation. Communicate. That is share with. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Communicate. That is to share. To share. Amen. Church, when I'm preaching like this, I must add. I am preaching for you to give. I am positioning you to be givers. I am not positioning you to be receivers. Because there are people that are sitting down here now, as we are saying, give. They are saying, hey, hey. They know they help people. hey, pastor, tell them. So that if I go beg them, they're going to give me. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be like my boy, my son, who he needs something from you, he will tell you it is good to share. But when you come to ask him, give me now, say, it is not good to beg. You see? Hallelujah. Don't do like that, oh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. As we are here ministering to you, If God blesses you, share it with us. It's Bible. I am not a Babiala. I am telling you a scriptural principle. If your coast was enlarged, verse 7, he added, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, and this life is abundant life. Hallelujah. Verse 9, he added, and let us not be weary in well doing. Do you know why he said, let us not be weary in well doing? Because sometimes you will stay and say, from January until August now, I've been given and given and given and given and given and given. I have not seen the effects. Now, church, listen. Listen and listen very well. I am a teacher of the Bible. And I am also a student of the Bible. And I am a practitioner of the Bible. Because this Bible is practical. Let me tell you something. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me finish this. I hope I'll remember that. Let me finish this. Because some people don't even know the principle. Don't be weary. That's what he's saying here. He said, don't be weary in well doing. See, verse, but let me complete that. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season. The emphasis there is due season. We shall reap. If we faint not, if we do not relax. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Hallelujah. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I like the way he put it there. Amen. Verse 1. He said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7, and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in a place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with the child, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether which one shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Amen. That's what I have every consistently advised all the ministers in this church. I say, see, the Bible says, he that plows, plows in hope. No, that is the truth. He that plows, he said, you plow in hope. He said, you should not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treaded the corn. That is, the ox, the donkey that you are using to tread the corn. Don't close the mouth so that as they walk, you're going to talk. He says, it's wickedness to use an ox for money tonight. If they gather your food, and you close the mouth, lock and say, may you not touch him. God forbid it. When we plow in hope. You come and meet the minister. My contract to be paid, they have hanged it. Millions of naira, they hang it. They are refusing to pay to release it. Then the minister decides to take it up in fasting. In prayer, you don't need to be told that he has a hope in plowing.
The man has hope. He believes that if they pay that money, at least you go do something for them. It's just normal. It's not a beggar. God himself says, he that plows should plow in hope. And I tell them, I said, don't worry. This principle in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 is for us too. There are people that we have handled their cases. They become billionaires in this church. They didn't come back to tell us anything. Millionaires, they didn't come back. And some of us are grumbling. I say, don't grumble. Hallelujah. If another person come again, pray. Another one come, pray. In the morning, pray. In the afternoon, pray. In the evening, pray. You don't know who among them. We come back for you. The same thing with you. Continue to sow. Anybody that has a need that you're in position to help, help. You are sowing. And you don't know how and when, because you don't know tomorrow. Amen. See, when I was in the Air Force, I was in a position, by virtue of my office, to meet with so many people, problem solver. And everybody will come with one problem or the other, one problem or the other. I was not a believer. This law is for everybody, believer or unbeliever. They asked Abiola, I was watching it on the television, one interview in those days. He was always given, 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 given. The journalist asked him, you're always given, given, given. This give, give, your money not finish. And he told the journalist, he said, if I want to give you something now, stretch forth your hand to receive. The person, stretch forth, where is it? Stretch forth your own hand. Come to receive. The journalist stretched forth his hand like this to receive. Then he put his hand like this. He said, whose hand is on top? He says, your own. He said, the giver is on top. So he's always on top because he's a giver. That is a Muslim with that principle. Givers never lack, I believe it. They're always on top. I was always given, given. You don't know what will happen when I was in the Air Force. I didn't know that one day I'll be removed from that position and be turned to almost a beggar. I didn't know. There are so many people that came. It was after I left the service. Few years after the problem was over. And I entered the Air Force. Till this moment, if I need anything in the Air Force, my name is associated with it, it's automatic. They will give it to me. Up till this moment. And I left the Air Force when? When did I leave the Air Force? I left the Air Force since 1990. Now, I'm just trying to tell you that anytime I needed anything, when one of them was made a governor, and I went to meet him, he gave me a job, and he was not paying me. Now I'm retired. And I went to meet him one time. Everybody that knows him, I was reporting him. See this guy there, I do job finish, no one pay me, they do me like this. He called me and came. In his guest house, in the midnight we were there, he said, Alu, you are reporting me everywhere. Say, you do work and no one pay you. I said, he told me, you don't know what I owe you. He said, when you were in the service, you don't know what you did for me. I have been thinking of what I will do for you. You look at this small thing, what I do for you. So I began to think, I don't remember when I ever did anything for him. I don't. Two of my children at home needed to enter the Air Force school, the education department. I didn't know anybody in the education department. As Nedu and Joseph, they needed to be transferred, to the Air Force secondary school. And then everybody wants their child in that school. and all the everybody, you know. So, and I didn't know them in that department, the education department. We were not in that area. So I started going to my mates and colleagues. I said, "When I know the director of education, do anything." Somebody said, "It's not close." He said, "But there is one other senior officer working at the headquarters there." They gave me note and sent one squadron leader to follow me. I said, "At least if they see you for uniform, they go, allow me, let me listen to us." When we went, the man was not in the office. Then this squadron leader tapped me and said, "Oga, but the director now, move, enter, go see him." We enter this reception, come and see crowd. Some from ministers, some from, you know, all, everybody want their child there. And then he filled form. He said, "Make it." I said, "Write your name so that you go know send a person where they work come." And then when the man said we should come in, immediately I entered the office. I will never forget that day. The director was sitting down. I was seeing him in my life for the first time. He jumped up and shouted, "Alu!" I look at him, I say, "Yes, sir." And they think, "Who be this one now?" And then he came and hugged me and said, "Where have you been? You don't even come around to greet us, this and that. How is life now since you left the service?" I said, "We thank God, I'm a hustler now." And then he was looking. So when he finished greeting, he said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Sir, I have two of my children I want in the school." He just shouted at one officer that was going. I said, come back. He said, "Do you do Alu?" He looked at me. He said, yes. "I know him. I attended his wedding." And so. He said, "Give him the names of the children." He said, "There is nothing Alu will come here and ask for that we shall not do for him." That statement. Praise the Lord. We exchanged phone numbers and I left. I met the officer. I said, "How are we to do now? Will I come here?" He said, "No, just tell the children to report to the school. We are sending the names to the commandant of the school." By the next day, the names were there when we got to the commandant's office. That is how they got the admission. Praise the Lord. They were building shops at the Air Force base for some 12 or 10 shops or so. My wife passed there and saw it. She said she would like to have one of those shops. So I said, I have left this Air Force before. I don't want to have anything to do with them. But she kept persisting. I kept tossing up and down. Then finally, she came one day and said, "Those shops," she has been telling me, "they are okay. That they have started allocating them. Only 10 and hundreds of people were interested in them." So she forced me and I went to the commander in the Air Force base. When I entered there, I saw him. He stood up. "Alu," we greeted. He said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Sir, one of those shops, I'm interested in them." The man said, "Why didn't you come since?" He sent one wing commander who was going. He said, come back. He said, "Shop number, so. He said, "The person, he don't pay?" He said, "No, sir, the person says he's coming to pay tomorrow." He said, "Alu, do you have the money to pay?" No. I said, "I have it." He said, "Reallocate it. If the man come tomorrow, tell and say, he come late." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why am I saying this? What I sowed years back, that is what I am reaping now. See, I have too many examples. Too many. When I tell you, when one Baba Olaniyo, he was talking the other day with Brother Chinedu. He said, he came some years back when Defense Headquarters was still in Lagos here. You can't penetrate. He said he had an appointment to see somebody there. There was something he needed. But they will not allow him penetrate. I said, "Okay, when you get to the Defense Headquarters, the gate there, you will see Air Force, Army, Navy, security there." I said, "Walk to any of the Air Force home and mention my name. Tell them that Flight Lieutenant Alu say if I come, I should meet you." The next day he came and told me, he said, immediately he got there, he mentioned my name to the man. He said, the man said, "Oga Alu, where is he? Namaga, where is he?" He said he was just laughing. I was asking for my phone number. He said it took him personally to the lift, went to the floor, stood there, he saw who he was saying, came with him down again, saw him to where he would enter taxi, and then came back, said, greet Maogao, greet Maogao. When that man was around in the office, oh, we lost an officer. Oh, we lost. He said that is all he was saying. Who is he? I don't know him. But maybe he came and he benefited from one thing or the other that I didn't even know. Cast thy bread upon many waters. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know tomorrow. It may not be for you. It may just be for your name. For your name. That somebody will be associated your name as your daughter. As your son. Hallelujah. What is your name? Your name is Ananti Obasanjo. Oh, which Obasanjo? Oh, he was a very nice man. Just that name, we open door for what he did. That's why the psalmist say, I have been young, now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. When will his seed beg bread? When he is no more, his seed should not beg bread. They can't beg bread. Why? He has dispersed. He has sown. He has sown, taking care of many, they will surely pay him back. So important. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. Let's study something Apostle Paul is saying from verse 10. This is what he said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. From verse 8, this is how he put it. Remember that, let me read it from verse 6 instead. It's a, let's study what Apostle Paul was trying to teach there. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God, we are going deeper now. Listen to what he was saying here. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Grace abound towards you. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The ability to do a good work, there is a grace that gives that ability. You cannot give, it's because you don't have the grace to give. Apostle Paul is praying that grace will abound towards you. So that always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, verse 9. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now, see his prayer. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower. Amen. Who is he that ministers seed to the sower? Who? God is the one that gave you that seed to sow. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. That is his prayer. Because they had a collection they were bringing to him. Verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which caused through us thanksgiving to God. I will explain it. For the administration of this service not only supply the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Let me break it down. In summary, that place there, the day God quickened that scripture to me, I then understood. Something. See, Hallelujah. He's saying that anytime you minister to the needs of the saints, anytime you minister to the needs of the saints, hallelujah, what you have done is you have ignited a blessing for yourself, because through that offering, thanksgiving is made to God for that offering. Through that offering, they pray for you. Certainly, you know that all of you sitting there, ministers, you have your prayer list. You have your prayer list. A brother told me, say, every month, there is somebody that brings a bag of rice every month to his house. A minister here. You see? Is that person's name not in your prayer list? Are you not every day praying for him? Amen. Somebody dash your car. Is it not in your prayer list? Is it not in your prayer list? No, that is what he's saying there. That's what he's saying in that scripture. I told you people the other day, I said that any time you help a poor person or a needy person, that person will begin to thank God. His praises, his thanksgiving, anytime anybody praises God, you call down God's presence. Anytime you want God's presence to come down, begin to praise him. Now this somebody suddenly is praising God, and God's attention is called to see, why is he praising me? And you will discover that it is you. Ugochukwu, you are the one that gave him, met his need, that he has been fasting for days. He is thanking God that his need has been met. He didn't pray for you. He's just there thanking God. Because of that thanksgiving, God will come down and discover that you are the one making him to praise him like that. He blesses you. You see? The same thing also. If you make a child of God to cry in anguish, God will come down to find out, why is this my child crying? And you will discover that you duped him. You cheated him. You raped her. You jilted her. You disappointed her. She disappointed him. And God will go and see, who is this one making my pekin to cry? And you know what God will do to you. It's dangerous to fall into the hands of God. God calls us the apple of his eyes. Be careful how you deal with children of God. They are crying. They didn't pray against you, but they are crying. God, hear that cry touches the heavens. He will come down. Why is he crying? It is not the crying of want. It's the crying of anguish. Somebody has hurt him unjustly. God will avenge for his seed. Be careful how you treat the children of God. Be careful. Be careful how you treat the needy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By giving, you provoke a blessing through the attitude of the person you have blessed. It's good to help the need. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sowing. There are different types of seeds that I want us to note. There are different types of seeds. There are seeds that if you plant now, 1 month time, you can begin to reap, like vegetable, like what again? Immediately, some 6 months time, they will be ripe for harvest. Some 1 year, they will be ripe for harvest. Then you plug again, then you clear the ground, then you plant again, then you wait another 1 year, you come back again, you plug, you clear the chaff, you prepare manure again, put everything, start again. There are those type of seeds. But there are some seeds that you plant, you have to wait for sometimes 5 years, like a mango tree. Hallelujah. Guava tree. Any of these citrus trees. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now listen, a seed Amen. That you have to wait for years. When you sow that type of seed, the church, praise the Lord. You may not know, and you will think as if you have wasted it. But when it is time to reap that type of seed, amen, the mango, when it is time, during the season, you just go, now hand, you go just stretch, plug, go. You don't come back and prepare anything again. You just go, chop. Before that food finish, you don't done again. You are going again. Plug. Come. Meanwhile, it was only one time you sowed it, but you sowed it 5 years ago. You even forgot about it. That's why he said, in due season, don't be weary in well doing. He said, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You take somebody and decide money that means nothing to you now. I told you something about a brother here who, when he was in those days, he was doing 419, but he had so much money. He said one guy wanted to travel to China and he needed 400,000 naira only. Say he was a multi-millionaire. He told me, he said he had 16 mobile police that used to guard him in those days. If I call his name, many of you know his name. He's now a Christian. And he said, suddenly, things crumbled. But he helped a man, you know. He said, suddenly, something, just everything crumbled. Upside down, turned upside down. Money to eat, he didn't even have. He was living in a rented house. The rent was due in Lagos. Yeah. He had a big mansion in his village. He lived in a house where he kept, when he had money, kept disturbing the landlord. He wanted to buy that house. The landlord refused until every money finished. One day, he said, he received a call. A white man called him and told him, said, are you so-so-so? He said, yes. He said, he's coming to Nigeria. So-so-so dead. He would like to meet with him. He arrived and called him. He met him at Sheraton and told him this is how he knew him. He worked. He had a factory at Aba that he set up with some Nigerians that he brought in. But everything he set up was, you know, to have their names in the company. When the company stood, they gang up, they even wanted to kill him, to eliminate him so that they can take over the company. He escaped. But he kept saying he cannot leave that thing like that to those people. They were threatening him. He was in a restaurant in China. When he saw a Nigerian sitting down on a table to eat, and he went to him, said, you look like a Nigerian? He said, yes. And told him, see my problem. Can you link me to anybody who is connected in Nigeria to fight this battle with me? That young man remembered years back, more than 10 years back, that he needed to travel to China. He needed ticket money, 400,000 naira, or he will lose that opportunity. And then somebody brought him to this man. And the man said, gave him the 400,000 naira to buy ticket and go. That day, he remembered him. He called somebody who gave him the number in Nigeria here. And gave, he said, if you meet this man, if he is still who he is, as I used to know him before, there's nowhere he cannot enter, including the president's house. So the man was interested, got him and came. He called the name. He said he didn't know the name. He could not remember. And a seed he sowed more than 10 years back. He said, when the man told him the problem, then Oji Kalu was the governor. He said, he told him, okay, just give me some time. Let me make my investigation. I will get back to you. He said, when he was going, he said, the man opened his bag and gave him 10 million naira to hold. That is, as you go, make you hold this one. He told me, he said, when he reached out, he opened 10 million. He traveled. Hallelujah. Went to the east, saw the governor. He said all he spent in the whole trip was just 2 million naira. Give the police their own. Give. He just, as he was leaving, you know, he said he began to act like big man. He said he just called the governor. Say, I take now. He just dropped 1 million for the governor. He said, and he was going. Then they arranged everything. He came and told the man, said, now let us go. The man now followed him. When they reached airport, he saw mobile police for escorts. They drove him just straight to the governor's house first. The governor came out and received him. From there, chop to the AIG house. Chop! They sealed up, he went to the factory. They sealed up the whole factory with policemen. And then got those people arrested, brought them to the governor's office. The governor was threatening them. You people are the ones disturbing this country. Investors want to come here. You are scaring them away. You are finished. Life imprisonment. Governor, na beg, na beg. Hallelujah. When they came back, hallelujah, the man dropped another. He didn't open his mouth, bam, to ask for one kobo. When they came back to this, drop him at Sheraton Hotel. He gave him a bag. When he reached house, it was 30 million naira. In all and all, the man was just dashing 10 million, 20 million. Anyway, that is how he bought a house. The man came one time, he was working. He said, why don't you use marble? He said, where will I have the money? He said, no. Get a contractor. Let us know how much. He made him a director of that company. Forever. He's still a director to today. I am speaking about different types of seed. Church, this is Prosperity Week. If I stand here and begin to prophesy, if you don't follow these principles, we have wasted our time. Don't think I'm wasting your time telling you these things. I am talking to somebody who God has destined to change your own way. Change you for good. So don't you ever regret any time you bless anybody. And please, listen, this is important. When you want to bless somebody, the blessing that brings, returns, the seed that brings return, listen, it is always a seed that goes with love. Church, the seed that goes with love. Hallelujah. Don't give grudgingly. And don't give expecting. Because I help you, therefore you should be worshipping me. See this useless man, they pass me now, you know, greet me. Meanwhile, that cloth where they wear, let me give them. Amen. Hallelujah. Just as there are different seeds, there are also different grounds. It is not every soil that you will plant a seed that you will harvest. Eh? It's not every ministry you go and give offering that you prosper in it. There are some ministries that are occultic ministries. That offering you are giving are your glory that they receive. You see, the pastor has his own business that is flourishing. And he's standing and he's telling you, you know, I don't need your money. I don't need, and you know, he has company. You know, he has money. But unknown to you, it is your star he is receiving, he's using. It's not every ministry that is of God. It's not every ministry that is of God. It's not every ground that you sow that is a fertile ground. If I pour sand here now, come and plant a mango for here and cover it with sand on top of this marble here. After some time, you go. You don't die. Because there's no fertility down there. You must know that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the infertile grounds is you don't sow. I'm showing you the ground that are not fertile. They are not fertile. Where you should not sow. Where you should not give your seed. Number one is in Luke chapter 6, verse 32. He said, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend, you give to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Hallelujah. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. What he's saying here is, don't give so that when me too I need something, I can come to you. I am given so that I will hope to also receive from you. He said, don't do that type of giving. It does not bring any reward. Give to those that you know they have nothing to give you back. So, if I help you today and tomorrow you turn like a serpent to strike me, it means nothing for me to cry. Imagine, he is who he is today because of me. Then I'll be lamenting. No. Did I help you so that you come and start worshiping me? No. That's why Pastor Moses will continue to receive blessing. The Liberal Assembly, after they have been made up here, and begin to speak against me. Don't give to a rich man. Somebody already has in abundance. You are taking to go and give him. He's a millionaire. You are taking to go and give him. You have wasted that seed. Don't give to be seen. You give, finish. Anytime he wants to give you anything, he will make sure there is somebody to see that he's giving you. Anytime he wants to help you, you have seen those type of relations. He will call a wife to be in the parlor. Then you come, he say, hey, what do you say you need? He say, the wife, they sit down there. Then you take, or you will call the children. They are where they are sitting down. Hey, Nancy, what do you say you want? Then while they are all watching, so that they will all see that he's always giving you. You have received your reward. That's what the Bible says. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't give to anything that does not glorify God. Don't give to somebody to go and drink beer. Don't go and give somebody to, you know, he's going to take the money to go and buy cigarettes. You have wasted that money. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the fertile grounds. Number one, fertile ground. Number one, according to the scripture, praise God, is give to the servants of God. That is why you saw that prayer in 3 John, verse 2. I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. They gave to Apostle John. He produced that prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, everybody quotes it. But, they are saying but means he was saying something before he came to verse 19. But, it's a continuation. They have given to his need. He said it's not because he needed it. It's not because he was in want. He says, they say he knows how to abound and how to abase. But it is to their own profit that he receives it as a servant of God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his glory, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15 spoke about Stephanus, the house of Stephanus. Said they were addicted to giving. Anytime servants of God come around them, they must give and give and give. Give to the servants of God. He said, if you give just a cup of water to any of his disciples, he said, it will never go unrewarded. The most fertile ground, I'm telling you now, give to the ministers of God. Those you have confirmed the grace of God in their life. Not people who carry badge and say, I am pastor, I am evangelist. They jump from house to house, from shop to shop. They are ringing bell on the street. They enter bus and preach and ask for offering. If you give that type of offering, it is not a fertile ground. It's a 419 ground. It's a Babiala spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't give. I don't give them. I don't give anybody that comes and preaches in a bus. I am traveling anywhere and then passes envelope. I will rebuke you, eh? I rebuke you. So stop that nonsense. I was at the airport one time. Somebody said they are starting a ministry. They want to buy instruments at the airport. I called him. I said, stop this nonsense you people are doing. Not disgracing the name of the Lord. You don't know what name to use to dupe people. You are printing this and going around. I say, cause they follow you. You don't know. That's what I tell them. And I warned, if you don't leave this place, I'll send security after you now. Get out of this place, this airport. A carrying thing, come up from airport. You'll be watching to see which flight I follow go. Make it continue. Praise the Lord. You give that type, you're wasting your time. Wasting your time. The second fertile ground. Amen. See, why I say a man of God, William Branham say, if that person is actually a true servant of God, he said, the best thing any true man of God can tell you is to say, God bless you. Shake hands and say, God bless you. He said, that alone is the best statement you can receive for the day. You bless a servant of God. And when I teach like this, I am not telling you to come and meet me. I have not given you one single example that somebody came and gave me something and something happened. If I do that, it can be misunderstood to mean that I am telling you people that I am a fertile ground. And smart people can be preaching and talking like that. It's a 419 sermon. If you're a teacher, teach what you did and what came out of it. There are so many of you, I have several of those examples. But if I teach that, I am only trying to tell you people, come and sow in my life. You see, if you sow on me, you see, one person sow on me and he built an estate in Abuja. Won't you be looking for me to sow for me? Eh? It's a carnal approach to the gospel. Even if it happens to me, you will never hear me say it. Because I know what it will be misconstrued. But I say minister. Me, I don't be minister. I say minister because it must not be only me. Some of you are from different churches. In your church, you are sure that man is a minister of God. He's a fertile ground for you to sow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a fertile ground for you to sow. So on servants of God. The second fertile ground is for the progress of the gospel. Evangelism. There is a sending ministry in Romans chapter 10. They cannot preach except they are sent. So there is a sending ministry. I can only go out if there is a sponsor. That's why in this church we have the evangelical support ministry. For give the people opportunity to be blessed by sponsoring the spread of the gospel. Anything, projects, building projects in the ministry, you know, print tracts and everything. I know a particular minister here that every month he gives 10,000 naira for tracts to be printed for him. And then he will take it out in his area every now and then. It's revelation. It's revelation. He knows what he gains by doing that. He's a minister. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The third one, I spoke it earlier, give to the poor. Proverbs 28 verse 27 says, he that giveth to the poor shall not lack. Write the scriptures down. Write Proverbs 28 verse 27. Write Proverbs 14 verse 21. He that hath mercy upon the poor. It's talking about those that have mercy upon the poor. the blessings that follow. And among the blessings in Psalm 41, from verse 1 to 3, speaks about he that considereth the poor. And Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that had pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord. And Proverbs 21, verse 13, it says, he that closes his ear at the cry of the poor, he too will cry himself, and he shall not be heard. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For masters who have people working for you, Proverbs 22, from verse 22 to 23, emphatically stops you, said that you should not rob not the poor. Rob not the poor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And my final advice for you is, remember, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He say, he that breaketh the edge, what will happen? Serpent will bite you. Stand up.